Good afternoon. This is KTOO and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Local advocates have gathered more than 600 signatures in an effort to pause the looming evictions and demolition of the historic Telephone Hill neighborhood in downtown Juneau. The petition is called Stop the Bulldozers on Telephone Hill. The city plans to demolish the houses on the hill in December to make way for newer, denser housing in response to the city's housing crunch. Renters on the hill have until November 1st to move out, but a developer has not yet signed on to the project. Mary Alice McKean is one of the advocates leading the effort. She says the petition asks the Juneau Assembly and City to consider postponing the project until they have a more credible plan that includes things like clearer cost estimates.
We think they are really putting the cart before the horse. And of course, after the buildings are demolished, that is irrevocable. And so before, we think they should pause what they're doing until they have a credible plan for the future of Telephone Hill.
McKean says advocates intend to present the signatures and testify at the Juneau Assembly's upcoming meeting on Monday night. That's when its newest member, Nano Brooks, will be sworn in. Brooks openly campaigned against the demolition plan. The eviction of renters on the hill was originally slated for October 1st, but the city postponed it until November 1st due to a legal hiccup. City Attorney Emily Wright says the signatures themselves can't stop the plan from moving forward. It's up to the Juneau Assembly.
In general, the signature gathering kind of push and initiative is fully within the political realm and putting pressure on the Assembly to rescind their action or change where things go, but it doesn't have any weight legally to stop the eviction.
A majority of the 9-member assembly would have to be on board with rescinding the evictions in order for a motion to pass. However, at a meeting last month, many assembly members stood behind their decision. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Alaskans will not receive SNAP or food stamp benefits for November, according to the State Division of Public Assistance. That's unless the federal government's shutdown ends before then. The state issued October benefits at the end of September, before the government shutdown. But Deb Etheridge, director of the division, says Alaska is unable to compensate for the lack of federal funds for November.
Unfortunately, due to the ongoing federal government shutdown, the USDA's Food and Nutrition Services has directed all states to stop issuance in November for SNAP benefits because there's no federal funds available.
SNAP serves about 66,000 Alaskans. Etheridge says it helps low-income Alaskans buy food they need for good health. And the division says the state could not make up for the benefits for technical and logistical reasons. She says the division will continue adding SNAP beneficiaries during the shutdown. And she says Alaskans who lost food because of the storm in western Alaska can still apply to get October SNAP benefits reissued.
Our eligibility technicians who are at the Alaska Airlines Center and the Egan Center can do that in at our Bethel office.
But Michelle DeWitt, executive director of Bethel Community Service Foundation, says the state's formal food security safety nets are already stretched thin in the wake of the storm. And she says a pause on SNAP benefits will layer disaster upon disaster.
This leaves folks with very few formal system resources. And I'm extremely concerned about people being hungry next month if this announcement is actually carried through.
DeWitt says Alaskans in need should reach out to their local food pantries for help. And she encourages Alaskans with resources to donate money or grocery items to food banks and to donate informally to community members who need food. During the 2018 government shutdown, SNAP benefits were released early to prevent a lapse in assistance. Several other states have announced a similar pause in benefits starting in November. And dozens of communities in western Alaska are working to restore essential infrastructure and repair damaged homes after the remnants of Typhoon Halong devastated coastal communities. But one stands out. In Kipnuk, Halong's high winds and storm surge left a catastrophe. The State Department of Transportation estimates that 90% of the structures in the community were destroyed. Most of Kipnuk's residents evacuated on military helicopters in the days after the storm. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports from Kipnuk, the few who remain are working to rebuild as winter approaches.
It's Sunday in Kipnuk, and like a lot of folks on Sundays, Tony Paul is headed to the hardware store.
We're making progress every day, seems like.
Unlike a lot of folks, Tony needs a boat to get there. That wasn't always the case.
Floated away, floated in the water. There's like a couple stores down past that way, a bunch of houses.
A week earlier, on Sunday, October 12th, Kipnuk endured the worst storm anyone can remember. Halong's hurricane-forced winds pushed seawater more than 6.5 feet above the normal high tide line. Water poured into houses, lifted homes off their foundations, and deposited some of them miles away. It toppled four-wheelers and snow machines, and it left freezers full of food for the winter without power. Now, Kipnuk is in ruins. Piles of debris are everywhere. Anna Kashtak remembers opening the door for the first time once the sun rose.
They're so heartbreaking, devastating. Kipnuk's not Kipnuk anymore.
Kashtak is only back in town for a couple days, retrieving some belongings and important documents from her parents' house. It floated away with them inside. She evacuated to the hub community of Bethel with her boyfriend, parents, and two kids. It seems like everyone here has a story like that. Only a handful of people remain in this village that just a week ago was home to 700.
It happened so fast. Everything changed like in a day, one day, that the rest of their lives are changed in one day.
James Paul is sitting in one of the few places of refuge that remain, the local school. It's in great shape. It's elevated, on pilings. A generator provides power. But the kids are gone. Many evacuated to Anchorage. Others are with friends and family in Bethel, surrounding villages, or other communities around the state. So for now, the Chief Paul Memorial School is a hub for the recovery effort. Packaged food lines the walls. Cafeteria workers are preparing hot meals. Chili is on the menu for dinner. James says the State Department of Transportation tells him some heavy equipment is on the way.
We're getting like mini excavators and skid steers and some more ATVs for the crew here so we can power up the school and the water treatment plant. That's our main objective right now. That's our priority.
But time is running short. Winter is well on its way. There are bits of frost and ponds on the tundra, that and an oily sheen. And a big question looms ahead. Can evacuees return before winter, or at all?
The way that their houses are right now, I don't think they want to come back, especially people whose houses were pulled off their foundation.
There are a few dozen homes that survived the storm and are still livable. James says he wants to stay here if he can. He spent most of his life here.
Kipnuk means family. It means values, traditions. It's my culture. I grew up here and my dad taught me to hunt and live off the land here. So I don't know nothing else about the... I do know some about city life, but I'd rather be here.
Outside the school, Benjamin Kuktun is unequivocal.
We're going to stay here all winter. Well, I'm not going to leave Kipnuk. These boys ain't going to leave Kipnuk. So we can survive. We got hope.
But when or whether large numbers can return is unclear. Governor Mike Dunleavy, in a request to the federal government, says some evacuees from villages across this vast low-lying delta might not be able to return for 18 months. Standing with a group of young men working to restore basic services, Kuktun is staying positive. He says he'd like to see more residents return to help out.
With teamwork, it can happen. We got hope.
We still do have hope.
Yeah, we got hope every day.
He and his crew are taking it one day at a time, one task at a time. One boat ride to the hardware store at a time. Reporting in Kipnuk, I'm Eric Stone.
And Alaska Congressman Nick Begich has a new challenger. Pastor Matt Schultz of the First Presbyterian Church in Anchorage launched his campaign earlier this week. Schultz is well known in Anchorage progressive circles and on social media. He's spoken at No Kings protests and champions affordable health care, social justice, and LGBTQ rights. He's running as a Democrat, but says he hopes to bridge the political divide by listening to other Alaskans.
People have spent so much time treating politics as a war zone that we've forgotten that it's supposed to be a construction zone, and we're supposed to gather together and build something better together.
Begich, in a speech to the Alaska Federation of Natives convention this weekend, focused on the economic benefits of the budget reconciliation bill Congress passed this summer. particularly how it advances oil development in Alaska. Schultz was among thousands of Alaskans who rallied against the bill, citing the impact it would have on Medicaid, the health insurance program for the poor. Schultz says he plans to keep his job at First Presbyterian as he campaigns. He is a first-time candidate, but says he has a lifetime of public service.
We're simply doing good for the sake of doing good. And I think that's a different lens to view our community service than our current representative has.
He joins the race with a big cash disadvantage. Begich has raised more than $2 million for his campaign so far this year. Another Democrat, John Brendan Williams of Fairbanks, has also filed paperwork to run for U.S. House in the 2026 election. He hasn't reported any fundraising so far. And now for a quick look at weather today in Juneau. It is 45 degrees and mostly cloudy out. Tonight, showers with a low of around 42 degrees and east winds from around 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, also showers with a high near 46 degrees and southeast winds from around 10 miles per hour. Friday night, also showers, and leading into Saturday, you guessed it, also showers, mainly before 1 p.m. Sunday, there's a 30% chance of rain after 4 p.m., but mostly sunny with a high near 43 degrees. This is KTOO. I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in.